So we are talking about, sort of big words in the Christian faith, and certainly one of those big words is worship, and I'm on my third week talking about the big word of worship in the life of the believer, in the life of the church. So it's just sort of like a preliminary question for you. When this morning, when you walk through those doors, what was your mindset? What was your attitude? What did you maybe bring with you that even now, even as I am speaking to you, that you are having difficulty letting go of? That it's clinging to you and it's interfering with your ability to have this encounter with God. It's not only that, but it's clinging to your ability to even expect to have an encounter with God. Did you come this morning with this expectancy that you would have a meaningful, a loving, a powerful encounter with Jesus Christ? Did you come here this morning expecting that? Did you come here this morning desiring that, hungering for it? Worship is a funny thing, isn't it? It's funny how we sort of bring some things with us to worship that oftentimes get in the way. And a lot of times we're just wired that way. It has a lot to do with our wiring. I can remember years ago when I was at Crestmont Lions Church, I was a youth pastor there. And I can't recall whether it was me or whether it was the other pastor where we had, we spoke, and there was an altar call, and there were about a dozen people at the altar praying, reconciling things with Jesus. Some people were in tears. Sometimes I think we ought to sort of get back to the altar call. I think something happens when you have those opportunities. Anyway, so that's what they were doing. And they were having a wonderful time as people were counseling them and were praying with them, stuff like that. Well, one tried and true saint of the church who was a trustee stood up following the service. I mean, service was over. People were still praying. And it was about 20 after, maybe 25 after 12, and he thought it was time to go home. So he went back in the back and he started flicking the lights to tell people it was time to go home as they were like having this encounter with God, you know. He's clicking it because it was his turn, you know, to turn out the lights and lock the doors and make sure everything was taken care of. Do you think maybe he came to church distracted? Sort of hardwired, right? To kind of miss what was happening, right? Sometimes people come in and, you know, sometimes we'll have guests, not we, but I've seen this happen before where people will come in. And in fact, I was talking to Mrs. Schaefer about it a few minutes ago because she said to me, she said, "Is it okay if we sit in these seats?" And I said, "Sure." She said, "Well, I want to be sensitive. We've been told by missionaries that when they go to churches, if sometimes they've sat in the wrong seats and people get angry at them because they're sitting in their seat, you know. And so if a person comes in the door expecting to have this encounter with God and instead have a confrontation with a church member, right, because they have specially designed that seat for their seat because they've sat in it for so many years, you know. And so they can't really sit anyplace else because it just doesn't suit them. So they don't welcome them. They don't enhance that worship experience. They detract from that worship experience. It's funny, you know, in light of wanting to come and give praise and honor and glory to the God of the universe, who saved each and every one of us from a multitude of sins, any one of which meant our certain death, that we get caught thinking about, you know, what time we need to be out the doors to turn off the lights and lock the doors and what seat's going to be ours. And look, I've seen times in the past when people were doing church, when they were doing business and they had strong opinions, and that was taking place before the worship service itself. People would be walking past. They'd hear some intense conversation or some raised voices. There's no place for that. This is worship. This is when we all come together. And whatever we do, we lay it all outside those doors there, and we come in and we expect to have this encounter with Jesus Christ. That He fills our heart. And that we feed off of the energy of Christ in everyone else as well. Don't you want to do that? Don't you just want to look around sometimes and see some person in love with God and praising Him and lifting up their voice and closing their eyes, putting their head back maybe, raising their hands? So, how we come to worship and how we prepare our heart and what our expectancy is really important. Some people need to come to worship because they just need to have this encounter with God because they just feel beat up. You ever feel beat up by your job, by your family, by your friends, by your neighborhood, by the physical things that are going on? You just feel beat up. Psalm 91:4 says, He, that is He, God, will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Psalm 91:4. He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. And so you come in because you want to tap into those faithful promises, don't you? You want them to help realign you in terms of your heart and your mind, and you want to feel safe. You want to feel that sweet presence of God in your life. There's a hymn that was written to this in accordance to this particular psalm, and so I'm going to read it to you. Under His wings I am safely abiding. Through the night, though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust Him. I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am His child. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearning turns to His rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort, and there I am blessed. Under His wings, oh, what a precious enjoyment. There will I hide till life's trials are over. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I am safe evermore. You ever sing that hymn before? You ever read those words before? It's a great hymn. It's a wonderful image of resting under His wings. And so this morning I'm just asking you, I'm just sort of trying to hit some of these touch points in our lives. Is there something going on in your life right now where you just need to feel that, have that experience of where you are under the wings of God? You are being protected like Him, like that beautiful dove is protecting its dovelings. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that a way in which that we need to sort of reconnect? I mean, is that something that you desire and that you hunger for this morning? I hope it is. I hope it is, because that's what worship is for. And sometimes when we find ourselves getting beat up and abused by the world, and I think that that's probably going to happen more and more as we go along, this body is going to become increasingly more and more important. Those doors are going to be an entranceway into a place in which you feel really safe. And you know that you're going to be loved unconditionally. And that Christ is going to work through each and every one of us and to be able to speak into the lives of each and every one of us. I hope that that's your experience. Look, no matter how polished or how stylistically relevant the church worship service is, if we do not take personal responsibility for the preparation and nurture of our hearts on a daily basis through regular private worship and Christ-like service in the world, then our church worship will be less meaningful. And I want to say that I think every day, as much as possible, we should commit ourselves to that experience of where we are under the wings of God. That when we get up in the morning, we're so attuned to what's going on in our life. We are so attuned to what's going on in the world around us. We are so attuned to how the world, in many cases, reviles and despises and persecutes fellow believers. That we take that to Christ every morning. And we just crawl a little deeper, a little more snugly up under the wings of God. And we bask in that beautiful and that warm presence of Him being in our lives. And when we do that on a regular basis, and then we show up here on Sunday morning, the quality of what we experience here will exponentially leap. And the quality of what other people experience, people who don't know God, people who have been living a life of disobedience with God, when they walk through those doors and they feel and experience the sweetness of Jesus Christ in your life because you have had a regular encounter with Him every day and you have crawled up under His wings and you felt that safety and that security and that bonding and that love, and it just rubs, it just sticks to you. And so when you come in Sunday morning, that's what you have to give away. Yeah, Marianne.
Can I just say, I know that's true because doing the Bible study with Beth, every day we have to do homework for it.
Yeah.
And just being in the Word, it has. I'm telling you, the last few weeks, worship has just been amazing for me. I mean, I've felt God's presence just pouring over me.
Thank you, Marianne, for sharing that. Yeah, and that's exactly what we want, you know? Look, I think if you were honest with most people and say, are you dissatisfied on some level with your relationship with God, your relationship with your church or whatever, I think most people would say yes. And I think that, you know, if I'm honest, I'm sure that I have something to do with it. I'm sure other people, I think we all were complicit in that way in some fashion. But at the end of the day, ultimately, we all are responsible for our own depth of faith in Jesus. There are many, many people out there in the world who have no access to what you have access to here. And if you were to encounter them, you would see a person whose life is vibrant and alive in Jesus because they have those experiences on a daily basis. And so when we commit to that, when we commit to that individually for ourselves, then our lives are not only enhanced as well, but when we come together with our fellow believers, when we come together with our church family, then what is clinging to us and what is moving in and through us can't help but just emanate out and feed other people who desperately need to be fed. People who maybe can't generate that on their own at that point in time in their life, but they sure are hungry for it. And so we serve. We serve others just because we've been faithful in our private worship with God. Because God becomes more pronounced. It's sort of like, it's like the little girl, I think I can remember this story. She's asking her mother about God and about how big God is. And her mother goes on to say that, you know, God is bigger than, you know, their house and bigger than their country and bigger than the planet and bigger than the universe, but that God lives in us and He loves us. And the girl sort of looked a little confused, And she said, well, Mom, when we're in church, is God in church? Yes. Is God living in people's lives in church? Yes. Well, if God is that big, don't you think he should leak out some when we are in church? Well, boy, from the mouths of babes, right, huh? And it's true. It's true, right? So as we move along in the life of our faith, can you covenant with me? Can you resolve within your own life that you're gonna? And look, maybe it means not adding one thing on. Maybe it means like doing one thing less so that you really have the time to have that experience with God. That maybe it's in the morning. You know, maybe some of you aren't morning people. I know it's like that famous coffee cup that. It has three lines on it. And the first line on the coffee cup says, not now. And the second one sort of says something like, it's getting better. And then the third line down with the coffee cup almost empty, it says, now you may speak. You know, I know there are some people like that here, right? That I see some of you laughing. You know, I know who you are, you know. And so... Yeah, and you look, my wife and I are very different. You know, I'm a morning person. I love morning. Ruth is more of an evening person, you know. And so I look like I'm in excruciating pain when I go to bed. She looks like she's in excruciating pain when she gets up. You know, it's true. You know, it's just how we are. But so you have to find your own time to do that. But here's the thing. At the end of the day or week, does the nature and commitment of our worship practice actually convey in our lives the true worthiness of God? Does it actually do that? Because I think that, you know, if we're on a maintenance program in terms of our worship and our relationship with God, then that's all we're going to have. Maintenance means just maintaining what you got. Growth is different than that. Right? I mean, if you have a plant and all you're doing is maintaining the plant, you're never going to grow. But if you have plans to build new structures, to hire more people, to invest still more time and money, then your plant is going to grow. You're going to produce more and you're going to have a larger impact. And so the same is for us in terms of our worship of God. So what do we do? You know, at the end of the day of the week, does the nature and commitment of our worship practices actually convey in our lives the true worthiness of God? Someone posted this. A church can have all of the programs in the world, but if people aren't changing, all you have is religion, a show on Sundays. Do we have religion? Or do we have a relationship? And if we have a relationship, is it really growing? Are we really moving along? Do we hunger? I remember, you know, when I first started dating Ruth, you couldn't talk enough on the phone. You couldn't be enough with each other. You reprioritized your life. You did all kinds of stuff just so that you could have more time with each other because you were fascinated. Then you get married and things change a little bit, right? No, I'm joking a little bit. But, you know, it doesn't get any easier, does it? You still have to work at it, right? It's true. You have to work at it. Because, you know, and I'm probably going to have to work at it when I go home to... But as I love to say, it's a man's job to annoy his wife, right? So, and I do that quite well, she tells me. So, anyway... So, look, the truth is if we struggle in our worship with God, it's probably because we don't know him as much as we should. Because Martin Luther said, to know God is to worship him. If you really know him. Next slide, Ryan. There we go. To know God is to worship him. The more that you know God, the more that you can't help but worship him. He fascinates you. You become so hungry for him. To know God is to worship him. And the more you know, the more you hunger for worship. So, let's reverse engineer that. If we don't hunger to worship, then we probably don't know God as well as we say that we do. And is God worth knowing? Is he worthy of that? Absolutely. Lincoln Duncan said, there is a God that we want and a God who is, and the two are not the same. That one of the reasons why maybe we might struggle with our worship is because what we really want is just heavenly fire insurance. I have people, I just got a message the other day. I have a person who wants me to dedicate their child. Because in their mind, dedicating their child means that I'm attaching some kind of fire insurance policy to their child if something happens to them. But then I said, you know, as a part of our child dedication service, we have the congregants stand up and say that they will take spiritual responsibility for that child. So they are covenanting with covenant. They are establishing a covenantal relationship with you that they will help in the worship, in the nurture, the spiritual nurture and admonition of their child. So what that kind of means is that you really need to be a part of our church family. I haven't heard anything back. Because they just want fire insurance. They want religion. And that's not what we are about. We're about more than that. Far more than that. There are many other ways in which you could look at that as well. And then finally, I just want to say this. There are many people that when they come to worship God, what they're really after or what they really participate in is what Jamie Smith calls moralistic, therapeutic deism. That God wants us to be good, and when we struggle, God counsels us. He helps us with our problems, whatever those problems might be. And it's sort of a general view of God. It's not really the God. It's not it's not Jesus Christ. It's not God the Father, God the Son. It's just this sort of like ethereal, amorphous sort of God that's sort of out there. And that's where so many people in our culture are. But the God that you and I worship is far bigger and more complex than this. Does he want us to be good? Absolutely. Not only good, but he wants us to be holy. Right? Not only therapeutic, but he wants us to have wisdom. You know, there's a lot of therapy taking place out there because people refuse to exercise wisdom. A lot of problems could be solved if you exercise godly wisdom. Right? It's not a bad thing to get therapy. But there's too much therapy because there's too little God and too little of his wisdom applied to our lives. And that he's not just a general God, but he's a person. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, now I said that I was going to get to... Oh, and just one final thing by Charles Spurgeon, then I'll conclude. Charles Spurgeon said, "Depend on it, my hearer, you will never go to heaven unless you are prepared to worship Jesus Christ as God." Because that's so much of what heaven is about. It's about the worship of Jesus Christ. And if we don't practice and get it here better, then we're not really prepared well to do what we need to do there well. So here's what I want you to do then, because I said I was going to get to it this week, but I just can't. I want you to read this week, if you would, Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. I'd like you to meditate on that this week. I'd like you to just chew on it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If you also get a chance, read Psalm 100, Psalm 105. Those are some great psalms. Psalm 119 is another great psalm to read when it comes to worship. Psalm 42, Psalm 19. Are some other psalms. If you're looking for psalms to read, that's a great psalm to read as well. But if you get a chance, do that. Psalm 51 is a phenomenal psalm when it comes to just repentance. So spend some time, if you would, and I promise you I will get to Hebrews 10 verses 19 through 25 next week. And then after that, I think I'm going to talk about just some of the practices that we can employ that will help us in our worship experience. So I'll sort of get to the how-to in 2 weeks. Okay? So please come back. Please come out. You know, can I just say this gently? Can we make Sunday morning worship a real priority? On any given Sunday throughout the land, at least 25% to 33% of the people who belong to a church are not there. And some of them are great reasons. They're great. You can't find fault for them. Some of them, not so much. And when I first began this series, I said this to you. There are all kinds of really good reasons why we need to miss Sunday morning worship. But are they the best reasons to miss Sunday morning worship? Only you know that. Only you know that. Okay? Years ago, in this denomination in particular, pastors used to really, I mean, if you were in a youth ministry, they wanted you to be back in church on Sunday morning. They didn't want the retreat to go through Sunday morning. They wanted you to be back before. I'm not quite of that ilk, but I'm saying to you that I think that we've maybe strayed too far. So, we need the blessing that you can give when you can be here Sunday morning. We need to encounter the Holy Spirit, the vital, powerful Holy Spirit in your life, in our lives when we come together collectively. We need that. And there are some of you who just need it. You just need it. And we want to give it to you.